Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 6th of October, recording at 9:25 p.m. British Summer Time. Now, instead of doing a quick review here, I'm going to jump right in on a number of topics here, particularly since I'm not here on Friday tomorrow. First, how big a reaction are we likely to see? Well, judging from some of the downward dynamics that we've seen, and these would range from Wall Street crucial, remember the Wall Street leash effect and remember those August lows. I did put a lot of stress on the importance of those August lows as being a reassessment point, and they were obliterated yesterday on Wall Street. And some other whopper dynamics from some of the high-flying resources markets, not least Australia, but also look at the damage that's occurred in Brazil, Argentina. I think those charts are posted today in one of the sections. And you see a fair amount of this. Even the Nikkei, which had really been strong, and if any market was going to hold up, despite the gains that it had seen, I mean, phenomenal move following the breakout at 12,000, rallying up to around 13,750, maybe even a little bit more, but getting a downward dynamic breakaway gap downwards against the rising uptrend. So clearly markets have taken fright in here. Now, why would this suddenly happen? Well, there are three factors that seem screamingly obvious to me. One is interest rates, because U.S. interest rates, it looks like, are going to continue to move up, unless Wall Street gets in more serious trouble than I expect. I'm looking for a medium-term correction in here at this stage. Other than interest rates, we've got oil. Sure, oil's been coming down recently. There's been a massive campaign to talk oil down. And perversely or ironically, that may well have frightened people more than when oil was, say, closer to $70 than $60, and people were saying, oh, no problem, you know, we use oil more efficiently, and we've had lots of time to get used to this, and after all, it's really not all that high when you adjust it for inflation and compare it with what we saw during the oil spikes in the 1970s. So the fact that we've got the energy secretary and President Bush and so on going on, and all these people jawboning here to talk the oil price down, has kind of signaled to people subconsciously, if not consciously, and you know inevitably it'll be a bit of both, that hey, wait a minute, this is a problem here. And the third factor, so stock market's getting a delayed reaction here to the oil price rise, previous oil price rise. And the third factor here is just sheer vertigo. So many stock markets rallied upwards very strongly. And if you've heard me say once, those veteran subscribers, and particularly people who have attended the chart seminar, well, I talk and talk about acceleration as being the first primary trend ending characteristic, the easiest one to recognize. It's also the most profitable part of a move, because everybody's a genius when markets all over the world accelerate upwards, but it is unsustainable beyond the short term. That's why Owen and I have stressed so much the importance of trailing stops in this, and have identified levels. You know, we'd put these charts up that look show trends that are unbelievably strong, but the trouble with accelerating markets is the strongest market accelerating upwards, the Arnold Schwarzenegger in his prime example, becomes the biggest wimp overnight once that trend runs out of fuel, in other words, eager buyers. Okay, so what are we actually going to see? Well, I've already said it. I think this is a medium-term correction. Could it be worse? Well, there's always that possibility, but I don't think it's an 87 type of situation. But I thoroughly I certainly, I should say, expect markets to move somewhat lower. Now, just a little quick review and here what happened today on Wall Street, which is very much in the pole position on this move. The Dow had a good recovery from its lows. It was down about 81 points at one stage, and the last half hour of trading it recouped, closed down only 30. S&P similarly had pretty good rebound, closed down less than 0.5%, down just under 5 points. NASDAQ had a bigger decline, and that was hit harder, down 0.9 of a percent. But again, damage has been done. Now, needless to say, there are going to be a fair number of optimists out there, and they will say, and first before I comment on what they're going to say or make my guess of what they're going to say fair number of optimists, and heck, maybe they could be right. Well, let's look at the charts. If the optimists are right, then the dynamics of the last couple of days need to be taken out fairly quickly. And for instance, taking the I'll have a look at that S&P chart that I put in today's interesting charts. We want to see that move back up over 1200 fairly smartly and on an upward dynamic, preferably. But there'll be a lot of people out there who were being emboldened by the rally, as you know, not saying, hey, this is beginning to look a little bit frothy. As you know, I've been saying since the beginning of this week is get looking dangerous. And you know from longer in terms of my emphasis on, yeah, it looks fine today, but and everything's okay as long as we don't start taking out these last reaction lows or whatever. So a lot of people out there who will say, well, come on, you know, we saw a reaction at the beginning of the year, we saw a reaction in March, and big deal, you know, we got a bit of a correction that proved to be a great buying opportunity. So I think that sentiment will still run fairly strong. Now, again, I say, yeah, they could be right. Any view is in with a chance. Why do I feel it's different this time? Well, markets moved higher, of course, considerably higher in some instances, all in Wall Street, as you know. And I also think that the euphoria from a behavioral standpoint, the additional optimism that we saw up until Monday, really, is quite a well, up until Tuesday, rather, is certainly worrying. So I and given the dynamics that we've seen, that's probably the most important factor. I am inclined to feel that this is a more serious correction. It looks different on a number of the charts, as you will see. And of course, we can monitor this in here on a day-to-day basis. Now, as that's my view, why haven't I, bailed out and pulled the parachute? Why am I still holding things like India? Well, I decided a while back that I really didn't want to disturb some of my core positions. I'll sacrifice some short-term gains in here. I've got other options that I can use. I'm certainly out of my leveraged stock market positions with one exception. That's Newmont Mining, and I'm not going to ditch that in here for reasons I'll get on to fairly shortly in when I discuss the precious metals. And the other possibility is, should one be shorting in here? Well, if I did anything in terms of these stock market indices, I would be shorting, and I think that certainly if we see any lift up in some of the indices that would tempt me most, those would be some of the Europeans, in all probability, and the U.S. indices. I might well do that. But I'm not too fussed in here either way. I've got a lot of speculative positions on board, and some of these are in quite good form. Okay, moving on here. Government bonds, as I said yesterday, I would expect them to rally a bit more. Actually, it was a rather poor performance in here in here today. I don't like bonds. That's the bottom line. I do not like these long-dated government bonds. Interest rates are moving up. People are starting to talk about inflation, having said there is absolutely no inflation around. I don't think there's rip-roaring inflation, certainly not in statistics that you can be sure we're not going to see. I don't expect inflation to occur in very many manufactured goods, except where there's a clear shortage, such as the earth-moving equipment, some of the things used in the mining industry and for building highways in China and so on. But certainly consumer goods, there really is no inflationary pressure on those at this stage. I would expect that to come along at some point, but always to lag the inflationary pressure that we see elsewhere, particularly in asset prices. And we don't have a wage inflation at this stage. But certainly, if and when inflation enters the public consciousness at large, I think we're probably a few years away from that at least. Then it would be a different matter. People would be demanding higher wages. There would be a lot more strikes, so on. So that's not a problem at this stage. But getting back to the bonds, these things have been priced for perfection, and I think people have been extremely complacent because they said, well, Greenspan would bail them out if bonds started to head south, bond prices, that is, or the Chinese and the Japanese governments would have to buy more to keep their currencies from appreciating. Well, these stories are all finite, aren't they? And meanwhile, these governments around the world have just been issuing debt, billions and billions and billions more. And then the 50-year bonds that I talked about yesterday. My goodness, if they didn't feel that these prices weren't going to last, that these yields weren't going to stay this low, do you think they'd be issuing 50-year bonds? No way. And they're issuing 50-year bonds because they know that they've then got 50 years to inflate away most of the debt. Okay, precious metals. Now, I've been a bit concerned in the two previous days as to whether this sort of all change in sentiment that we see just caused people to head for the hills and pull out positions in anything that had performed recently. Now, fortunately, gold and other precious metals had been seeing a bit of a consolidation before stock markets started to head south on Tuesday. And also, another big factor in here today, which I should have mentioned first really, is that the dollar, having rallied back up to that 90 level and the on the US dollar index, and the euro having dropped down towards its lows of, what was it, a couple of months ago. You can see that chart on the website. And you remember all those people on CNBC and on Bloomberg who are rolled forward several times an hour to give their views on currencies? Well, it will not have escaped you if you've watched those programs that the majority of them were really dollar bulls. Now, as I've said so many times in the past, that a consensus view, that in this instance that the dollar is going to go up, a consensus view is a far better indication of what people have done with their money rather than what the market's actually going to do. People talk their book, otherwise they'd be schizophrenic. So all those dollar bulls are getting squeezed in here, and we had this dramatic rebound by the euro, no less. And why did it rebound so dramatically? Well, not in a reappraisal of the euro, but because the shorts were getting squeezed, and that's where most of the shorts were. I think we might get some follow-through on this, if not tomorrow, tomorrow next week. And certainly the downward dynamics that we saw by the dollar index today, the upward dynamic by the euro, would suggest that that's likely to be the case, that we will get some further dollar weakness. Although it's in a ranging pattern overall, as you can clearly see. Now, in talking about this with Owen earlier today, and he said something that I thought was said it very quickly, and I thought, no, this is really good thinking. I agree. Mind you, I'm biased. I've got a long position here. But he said the best way to play a further dollar sell-off is in gold, particularly as people are really jittery about what's happening in so many markets. And gold had a barnstorming recovery from its earlier lows today. It got down to 64.65, closed in here. We're getting the after hours stuff, but to last at 473.35, and it's been a little bit higher than that, about 60-70 cents higher than that. So, but that's very good action. Have a look at that. It's still within its consolidation pattern, but right up near the higher side. And you know my views on gold. I'm a bull, and it's my second largest long position. My largest long position is in silver. I had a good day in here today as well. The screen's no longer showing the early trades, but December gold's right up at 761 now as I speak. Platinum, also big gangbusters move. I'm going to take a little sip of water here, excuse me. Platinum closed. We're not getting any after-hours trading here. We're closed at 930.7. That was as low as 920 earlier in the day. Palladium up a bit as well, but not so much as the others. So this looks pretty interesting. So I'm going to have to stop here for a second, scratchy throat. Nervous cough out of the way, hopefully, and we carry on. So these precious metals are strong, and that's a sector I really like. I'm well overweight there, and that's the reason why I'm not tempted to chuck out my Newmont Mining, although if Wall Street continues to head south, that will create a big, big headwind for Newmont Mining, not least because people will sell something that's strong just to make sure that it doesn't turn weak like some of the other things they hold. Now, natural gas also finally succumbing to some of the profit-taking, although not to the extent that we've seen elsewhere. But, well, maybe yes. 13.290 here last. That was over a dollar higher yesterday, and I think earlier today. So pressure in some of these, in some of these high-flying markets, natural gas has been one heck of a lot more of a high-flying market than say gold has been. Gold just moved nice and steadily and firmly out of a 18-month trading range and didn't see a spectacular gain, rallied, what, another, you know, sort of $20-$25 or so, and then went into a consolidation phase, and that's fine. I think gold's heading considerably higher, as you know. I wouldn't be at all surprised to see it over $500 before the end of this year, and I would expect it to move well above that level next year. But targets are a guessing game, and let's play it a day at a time. I don't want to be I don't want to play that numbers guessing game. The smart way to play these things is, you know, how does the chart look? And I do hope you subscribers are all looking at those charts in the chart library. I just think they're, well, I'm a big fan of my own charts, but a number of you have your own charts, and they certainly are our eyes on the world. Okay, anything else to mention in here today? Industrial metals, quiet day generally overall. But one comment I made to a colleague, you know, I like those mining shares, things like Rio Tinto and BHP Billiton, and I hold both of those in my investment portfolio. Well, you know, they got absolutely walloped in here from Tuesday and into today, or hammered in Australia. And people are starting to get a bit nervous. But if you look at the charts, look at the long-term charts, they've been a bit overextended. And sure, they're going to be volatile. But they came right down, and I was talking to the StockEve analyst who handles that sector and just saying, well, they're really weak in here, but the metals are really quite strong as they are. And so this is just a sort of a flush out of some short-term holdings, and we did see those things like Rio and Billiton to rebound pretty strongly. It's another reason why I'm not going to chuck out my favorite positions, and I'm not going to chuck out the Investec Global Energy Fund, things like that. They could easily come a bit lower after the very, very strong gains that they've seen. But I'm content to ride that out if that's the case. If I worry about anything, I think something like India is a bit more vulnerable because that's had such an incredible performance overall, and that is very susceptible to the Wall Street leash effect in my view. Okay, now lastly, I think that's pretty much it. But lastly, the first of the wine and cheese with Owen sessions kicked off tonight, way down at the other end of our office. But judging from all the chuckles I heard coming from that room, could barely hear down in my little billet at the opposite end of the office. But judging from the chuckles and laughs I was hearing down there, they were having far too much fun. Now, Owen's going to continue with certainly with these wine and cheese parties. They will be a monthly event. We want to try to accommodate anyone who's interested in a rotational sequence. So, send them an email, certainly through the website. If you're interested in attending any of those, and I'm sure he'll mention a little bit more about it tomorrow. Okay, all the best.